right. So with that, let's get Harry Fulton up to talk to us about investments. And Harry, I'm going to put this down right here for you. But as you come up here, are you going to be down there or are you going to be up here? All right, well, I'm going to come down here then, and we're going to open us up in prayer here this morning. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your provision. For even in difficulty, you find a way to provide, Lord. Just as this morning, you have provided a backup location for us to meet here this morning. We are so thankful for the resources in the church that enable us to continue to meet despite difficulties, Lord. And here this morning, I know that Harry has spent a lot of time preparing for today's message, Lord. I know that he has spent much time in prayer and preparation for today to ensure that he communicates just what you want him to communicate, Lord. But I pray that you be with him. Be present here today. Guide his words that he might inspire all of us when it comes to the topic of investments, Lord. And for those men here this morning, just pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, that we might receive your message and your word here this morning. We give thanks to you and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Nate. Okay, guys, pull out the application of your Vanguard or Fidelity application of your choice here, and we'll get started, unless you brought a hard copy portfolio. And No? Yeah, good. That's not what we're here for, so especially if it was coming from this guy here. So, okay. August 2009. Nikki and I had just received our household goods shipment about a block and a half away from here on Summerday Court off of Spring Lake off of Old Keene Mill. Grandparents had the kids up in north central Pennsylvania, where this box of rocks is from, and Nikki and I are kind of working on getting the house organized without four munchkins all over the place. We're getting boxes here, boxes there. You guys know, most of you guys know the drill. And we just moved 6,000 miles from Marine Corps Air Station, Kaneohe Bay, back to Northern Virginia for just 1 year. What I thought would just be 1 year of penance in the D.C. area. And there comes a knock at my door, actually, doorbell at the door. Ding dong. How's that? Was that, yeah, how's sound effect? Oof. At the door, and I wasn't expecting anyone new to the area, very new to the area, had never done a tour here, and so Nikki and I go to the door and open up, and there stands Dan Rick. Now, this is 2009 for me. Yeah, a couple of chuckles, because for many here, it's probably a household name, as much as Dan's been away from BCC for a couple of years post-COVID. But at this point in time, 2009, I had been operational for about 14, 15 years in my Navy career. This is the first real break from duty involving flying operations my whole career. I knew Dan as a top prop P-3 instructor pilot when I was first going through Naval Air Station Jacksonville in 1996. And so to me, Dan Rick was... he was everything, and he was a well-known figure in the community, having been a commanding officer, and now in D.C. doing his penance to make 06 and put captain on. So, hey, Dan. Hey, buddy. How you doing? You know, so good to see you. You know, he said, Harry, I heard you were in town. Hot Rod Urbano, the Commodore, who was my boss coming from Hawaii, he let me know that you were going to be here. Starting off at Industrial College of the Armed Forces, now the Eisenhower School, to get your master's. Found out where you're living, and just so happens I live three doors up the street here on Summer Day Drive. I said, okay, Dan. So anyway, we start catching up. Said, just wanted to know everything going okay here. You need any heavy lifting? I'm right up the street for when you might need some help. And just curious about where you might be going to church. He'd heard I was a Christian. Glad to kind of help you. Oh, yeah. And I let him know. I said, well, actually, Dan, a good friend of ours there at the squadron, friends of ours throughout the Navy, had indicated a place. She came here when her dad was in 05. She came here, Burke Community Church. I think it's right around the street here somewhere. He said, Actually, Harry, it is. I go to church there. And so that kicked off what I'll say a decades-long investment Dan Rick made in me at this church. And over the course of the next couple of years, Dan and I met for a lot of coffee, and he was always very intentional and deliberate about introducing me to other guys, or hey, Harry, come on, you got to come to men's breakfast, or he got me coming to base camp that many years ago. And just over the course of the next couple of years, Dan pouring a lot of time and energy into this box of rocks, for which, like I said, base camp, men's breakfast, and for me personally, now that I finally had some downtime and I was no longer a slave to the flight schedule, I finally had time to invest in my family, so I started getting involved in student ministry, TJ Verkuteren and Quest. Back then, a bunch of guys I see that have been around those Quest tables or helped out there before, and very much just a lot of that encouragement coming from Dan Rick. I'd been here for about 2 years, and I got this. Hey, just wanted to say thanks from Dan. Harry, my brother. This is December of 2011, so 2 years and change. Just a quick note to say thanks for stepping up and helping the men to serve the BCC women at the Christmas and Christian luncheon. I couldn't have done it without you, and I'm a bag of cats this morning. Couldn't have done it without you, and I can assure you that it was a blessing to all the women and to us as well. On a personal note, I'm impressed with how you've put yourself in the game. Your servant heart and leadership is making an enormous impact on the kids and the men at BCC. So thanks for everything. May God richly bless you and grant you the wishes of your heart. With loud applause, your brother in Christ, Dan Rick. Interesting. I had been involved, like I said, in student ministry just for a couple, maybe not even a year. And Dan had taken notice. And he took the time. Anyone else ever got one of these from Dan Rick? Okay, couple of hands here. Yep. He had taken the time. He invested in time to write this letter of encouragement to me. Well, I got to tell you, between Dan, I don't know if he saw a sucker or just a sliver of potential in me, because it was Dan. The theme from Dan was get in the game, get off the sidelines and get in the game. And he was very good about that. Without ever levying guilt, it was his approach was just really good about come on alongside me here. And so for me, it just, especially being very interested and recognizing and now finally having some time to invest in the in my kids at church, he very much kind of engendered and nurtured the model of the servant heart for me. And so, and it was also easy at Quest and these other places. One, I had skin in the game. I wanted to be there with my kids, to be involved. I wanted to see who they were hanging with, the church, their influences, the relationships there. So admittedly, there was some personal interest there. But also, the men that were involved in Quest and student ministry were just quality guys. So what was modeled, what is modeled in this church, to me was incredibly inspiring. And so over the years, between TJ Verkuteren and at Quest, and then Kenneth McFadden, Elements right here in this room on Sundays, occasionally teaching or being a character in murder mysteries up here, Matt Watson in high school ministry off to senior retreats down in Virginia Beach, that wasn't tough, you know, or West Virginia, other places like this. I just had these opportunities to continue to kind of roll out just from my involvement with high school ministry here. So I kind of wanted to provide some of this context for you for a guy that took time to invest over coffee, over breakfast, over, I mean, providentially, three houses down from where we rented a place, sight unseen, no idea, and Dan Rick is up the street from me. Anyways, like I said, retreat, small group, teaching, testimonials, murder mystery, just had time to invest in a lot of relationships. Wanted to take some time. I've provided these before, I think, at a men's breakfast, and just to give you guys a little bit of a sample of how God's investment in Dan, God's investment in me, paid off in investments elsewhere in the church. Some of you guys have heard some of these before, so I'm going to ask you to bear with me as I try to make it through a couple of these, okay? Matt Watson was really good at camp. He would hand out there, they're called warm fuzzies, and it was just a note to leave to someone at camp, a note of encouragement or something like that. And throughout the week, people would slip these in their envelopes, and at the end of the week, you'd kind of head off with a handful of, hopefully, a handful of these encouragements. I got to tell you, from the years that I had done camp at BCC, I've got a couple of manila envelopes of these, dozens and dozens of these. And much like you guys heard me say, the letter from my dad that I'd go back into the burning house for, I'd go back in for these. Cherish these. Full disclosure up front, I want you to understand before I share this with you guys that I'm probably cashing in some reward right now, right here with you guys on these. But I want you to understand, this is not me showcasing Harry Fulton and all that, everything he's got here, okay? This is showcasing God's glory from a guy who invested some time in me and God's investment in me being poured out again in ministry here at this body of Christ. Mr. Fulton, thanks for always being so friendly to me. I have a... already. I only have 12 to go, guys. Hang in there, yeah. Thanks for always being so friendly to me. I have a couple of friends that don't have dads around, and I know how much they struggle with that, but they shared with me how you're such a great father figure in their lives, so I just wanted to say thanks. Have a great summer. Hey, Mr. Fulton, I'm immensely happy that you were my small group leader. You're one of the most positive, charismatic people I know. Being in a Muslim family... and the only Christian in the family is myself, it's nice to have an older figure to guide me to my faith. I thank you for that and all the memories you have from camp. You made me feel welcome from day one. Thanks. Mr. Fulton, thank you for being a terrific small group leader for most of the years I've come to Alpine, as well as becoming our new small group leader this past fall. I'm very glad you chose to pick up seamlessly where Mr. Reefer left off and keeping and giving us insight to how to become men of God in a challenging environment, because you have great experience with that. I can see your teachings are worthwhile and good through the behavior of your sons. They're all great guys and achieve that certain level of respect that comes with a Fulton name. He didn't know me too well, but Mr. Fulton, courtesy Jack Law, your boy. The last one. Mr. Fulton, I know I say this a lot, but I aspire to be like you and Jesus every day. You are one of the most well-rounded individuals I've ever met. You sweat success. That's a good line. That is just, I mean, I sweat. There's no doubt about that. I don't know about, anyway, your energy and everything really made my camp experience over the last 3 years memorable. You've been the greatest mentor besides my father I have ever had, Scotty Davis. God has given you so many blessings because he sees great, the great biblical man you are. You're a leader of everything you do. I love you, Mr. Fulton, as my Christian brother. Mr. Fulton, thanks for setting a positive example for us younger guys. I've always enjoyed being in your small group, even though I left yours for my next age group. I appreciate how you're always there for us, can point us to scripture, and give experienced advice. Plenty of that. I can see the care and love for high schoolers that God has placed in your heart. Thank you for meeting our confessions with understanding and love rather than with condemnation and guilt. This from a young lady. Mr. Fulton, I just wanted to say I can see how you change and impact so many kids' lives at camp. It's nice to always see you, and you go out of your way to ask me how I'm doing. Thank you for that. It makes me feel like I matter. Thank you for all the time and care you put into your life group voice. I know that you might feel underappreciated, but you're making an impact. This one from a young lady who lost her father when she was just months old. Mr. Fulton, I just wanted to say thank you. Thanks for always looking out for me. Thank you for giving me a hug whenever you see me. Thank you for being an example of a godly man and telling me to never settle. Also, thank you for being a role model to all the chumps in our youth group. this is a tough girl. You've been such a blessing in my life and really appreciate you. And I know God will continue to use you and so many others. See you around, Mr. Fulton. This one from another lady who, at the end of her senior year, gave me this note before she headed off to college. Dear Mr. Fulton, I just wanted to thank you for the small ways you've impacted my life. My relationship with my dad isn't very good. And men like you and Mr. Rawlinson have always stepped in ways I don't think you ever knew. Thank you for just being interested in my life and talking to me and encouraging me. It meant so much. This one from Darren Brown, the summer that Matt Watson had rolled out and poor Todd Grant had to roll in on this rowdy, I think it was the class of 2018, this crew. Todd Grant had to pick up this crew and take them off to Alpine. And he left church shortly after that. So, no, it was years later, but his grandfather, David Jeremiah, I think in Southern California, had good things for him there. Anyway, Harry, thanks for being here this week. Just your presence makes a difference with our students, even without Pastor Matt here. Even canker sores and strep throat can't keep you down. I can't remember what happened there, but I guess I got sick. Seriously. Your investment will yield fruits that likely you'll never even see, but know you're a real difference maker. Whew. Dear Padre, this is my daughter, Joy. Wow, Dad, you're a great influence to all these teens at camp. So many people look up to you. I'm blessed to have you as my dad. After that session the other night, I felt like I took your teachings to me about God for granted. I'm so blessed to have parents that care about my relationship with the Lord. Mentor me through my walk. I couldn't ever thank you enough for that. I'm grateful. Dad, you're the best dad ever I could ever ask for, even though sometimes you can be a little strange. So, I love you with all my heart. Your daughter, Joy. Dad, I don't know I credit you enough for this, but you've probably been the most positive and influential in my life so far. Your example, so godly, has helped me grow in my faith ever since I became a Christian. Mom told me some things you've done to stick up for good while in the military, even in the face of disapproval. She also told me that it cost you command for a squadron. To me, your actions make me proud that you're my dad because you did because you did what was right rather than what would have benefited yourself. I'm proud of you as a fellow brother in Christ and as your son. Your example and character makes a perfect goal for me, a Christian man of God. I'm so glad to have a father like you and that you care so much about your children. Not many dads in the world are as cool and as awesome as you. Nothing. You guys are rough, man. Thanks again for everything you've done for me, my friends, Mom, Gabe, Joy, and Mikey, your son. Okay. Again, no, guys, oh, man, no, please, stop, please, again, that's God's glory, right there, okay? Listen, fellas, no special sauce here, okay? I mean that. There was a guy that invested in time with me, and again, whether he saw a sucker or a sliver of potential, he kept pouring into me and got me in the game, wouldn't let go of me until he got me in the game. And I was in, man. And what you capture right there, and again, dozens of these, and that was just through a season of camps, but letters from my kids, some of your sons that have invited me to their weddings, or I've heard from them through their college years, or after, or have sought me out years later, This was all from someone investing time in me for what they saw God had already invested in me. And for me, as for many here, the passion I had for high school ministry was about equipping these young men and young women to be ready for what waited for them as they left here. Because I know for me, I was already living as a hypocritical chameleon before I left home in deception with my parents. So as soon as I left home, man, I lit my hair on fire and junked everything about my faith because it was never mine to begin with. I did everything I could in all that passion to give these kids a heads up on what was waiting for them outside of these walls and the comforts and the safety umbrella of home. So that's just as Marty would say, that's the intro for my message. But the good news is I got a four slider here. So, what do I got here? I didn't have it open. Who's got Titus open? Titus 2, who's got it now? Help me. All right. If I beat you to it, then we're in trouble. Okay, go ahead. Do you mind? Go ahead. 7 and 8. You mind? Tom, is it Tom? Yeah. We stand up and just nice and loud, Tom.
Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Model of good works, okay? So Jesus invested in men who would lead other men who would go on to lead families, churches, communities for the glory of God. Every man needs to hear sound teaching of truthful doctrine and see good examples all over the place right here in this room, guys. Now the father fills that role to his, what do we got here? Father fills that role to his son, but every father who knows God's word knows it takes a village, okay? I think what was so inspiring and just motivating to me week after week was seeing the guys that got involved in my son's lives. And I see many of you, right? Paul Schmidt, just looking at you. Where are you, Paul? There you are. A slew of guys in here: T.J. Verkuteren, Kenneth McFadden, Mauricio Serna, Gordon Kessling, Paul Schmidt, Don Moore, Chris Toth, Jay Harriet, Chris Reefer, Brian Barti, Jack Law, Mike Peliquin, Joel Bales, Tom Main. Anybody? Tom Main. Chuck LePay, Jay Santiago, my P3 brothers, Jamie Johnson, K-Dell, Dave Zuhadway. I'm missing a slew here. Gordo, I'm sure I got you in there. I know I'm missing other guys in here. Please forgive me. Just off the top of my head, these were guys that came alongside my sons and put their arms around them. Because I knew, fellas, listen, if it was all just up to me, as this book has said, no man is an island, and I knew I'd tank it. Did I get all that? Yeah, so this is, I love this. Prototypes of godliness. I'd never heard that before until reading this chapter. That's what young men need. Prototypes of godliness. Super cool. Super cool term. I got to keep that one. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul says, follow me. This is from the same guy who said, chief of sinners. The things I wish I did, I don't do. The things I know I should. I'm getting all that. I'm butchering that. But you guys get it, right? Follow my example. The cool thing is about the guys in this church, they don't say this. They live it. They live it. You see this in action from the men in our body and this fellowship right here. Incredibly inspiring. Stewardship. So to become the man that God wants you to become, you need godly men to invest in you. So whether it's formal, informal, short, long term, our responsibility is to take what God's invested in us and pay it forward. Invest it into the lives of others, because we're to be faithful stewards of the resources which God's entrusted to us, the four T's and R's: time, talent, treasure, truth, and relationships. We need men to invest in us in order for God's investment in us to be revealed for his glory in our relationships in ministry on this planet. What else do I got here? Every one of you guys has something to invest. It doesn't matter what season in life you're in. Every one of you has something to invest in another, in this church, in your community, in work. And it, various forms of this, and whether it's one-on-one, die right here from your table, Bible, or book study, prayer, encouragement, writing, financial assistance, coffee, mentorship. What did I say? Oh, Eric Turk. He's the mentoring lead here with Scotty. So Scotty and Eric will get that. We'll get that right there. Mentoring men. There's opportunities here. I know on occasion we get the public service announcements for the mentorship program. But however this may stir whatever in your heart for action, for committing to something, reach out to them. And again, I know this the opening here may have sounded, well, I guess it was very much a public service announcement for student ministry. Hey, check this out. The good news is, check this out. Jeremy doesn't have room. He doesn't need guys. About 3 years ago, years ago, when we were in desperate need of guys in on Sunday mornings at around tables or at youth group, I'd kind of rattle the tree a little bit, very much, you know, guilt and shame, saying, hey, guys, Jeremy needs guys, all right? No one's got a leg to stand on to complain about the next generation if you ain't willing to get in there and get your hands dirty, okay? So, about 3 years ago, I went hard down, four steel rods and a titanium cage kind of took me out of the game for a little bit, sitting sidelines for some time, after which a season of grace there that I milked a little too long, came back to Jeremy and he said, hey, Harry, guess what? I don't need you. I said, what? That's great. I mean, I'm really disappointed, you know, but maybe it was time, you know. So that's great news. But, guys, there's ministry opportunities all over the place for every one of us to invest. How God's invested that in us. And then here, the great irony here is investing in others. It's actually an investment in yourself. I mean, you heard this. These memories that I have with these young men and women that I still hear from today, and even my own kids. Yeah. How am I doing on time? What time is it? I'm over? Darn it, man. I wanted to double down on zeal. Because God bless you, Richard Dick. You know, 2 weeks ago you sat up here and you said, me? Really? Richard Dick? I'm about the most. You didn't say it this way, but it came across as, you couldn't have picked Dallas, you know, Jack, for zeal, or, you know, someone, but me, most unqualified for this. Hey, where is Richard? I know he's, Richard, brother, look, I want to tell you that for guys like, now I can't speak for Dallas's bride, but I know I can speak for mine, that for those of us that that may be zealously passionate, the highs, man, they are really, really high. But the lows, I'd just rather not have you guys talk to Nikki about what the lows look like in my household, all right? And Richard, that's why I want to tell you that I'll say, guys like me, we need the steady, consistent model of zealous, devoted believers such as you. And that zeal, that the zeal that you model, pays off an investment in guys like me. I had to come back to that because I wasn't going to let you get away with disqualifying yourself on zeal, brother. A couple of scripture passages here as you move on to discussion questions. Since I'm over, you guys can talk about those in your group. There you go. All right, guys.